This week, and we'll see what game plan he has.
Thompson winds up, goes deep, got a man, touchdown! Big Red, Trey Palmer, ran a great route, and Casey Thompson put the biscuit in the basket.
All right, y'all. Welcome to Run the Damn Ball. This is your host, Daniel Magnuson. This is the first, I'm going to look at the camera, dude. This is funny. This is the first time we have this set up here. Like, we got Memorial Stadium in the background, old Memorial Stadium. That's before they remodeled it. But anyway, we're talking about, you know, the latest stuff with Nebraska football, of course, because that's what we are. We're a Nebraska podcast. We love college football as well. I brought my friend Max on podcast today. He's an Oklahoma fan.
Yep.
So we got a lot of stories to tell about, like, just our shoot. We played football together growing up.
Yep.
We went to the OU Nebraska games the last 2 years. So we're going to talk about all that stuff. We're going to talk about, you know, Big 12, OU, all that. So, which we never really, we don't really talk a ton of that stuff unless it's like big news, but it's going to be fun. So that's what we're doing today. So, you know, starting things out. So this is probably this. Okay. So there's like 2 years left of OU and Texas in the Big 12.
Yeah.
And that's probably not going to change.
No, it's probably not. I mean, we were talking about a buyout for a while though. but honestly, from what I heard, OU was kind of running a little bit low on funds. They've really had to go deep within the, like, the donors' pockets in order to just get the facilities that Venables wants. Like, in terms of, like, last time I heard, he was surprised they didn't have, like, cryotherapy and different other things that they, like, really needed, and getting them on, like, solid, hard meal plans and stuff like that. So there was a potential buyout, which I think Texas was probably going to be okay with because they have much money. You know what I mean? They drop, like, oh, God, what is it? Like, on Arch Manning's visit, I think they dropped, like, they dropped a lot of money on his visit. There was, like, ice sculptures and stuff like that. It was ridiculous. It was crazy. Yeah. So, but I think at this point, we're looking like 2 years.
Yeah, and I know that, like, if you're Texas, you definitely don't want to play another Big 12 game ever again.
No.
Like, you really don't, okay? No. But I will say, like, you know, you're Oklahoma, you've been playing a lot of these schools for so long. Shoot, Oklahoma State's like your biggest rival. And you're not going to, when you leave, you're not going to play them for, I mean, it's going to be a decade or so before they're able to schedule again just because of how non-conference works. And so, you know, as a Nebraska fan, seeing Nebraska lose so many of its rivalries when they left the Big 12, you should, my biggest advice, like, y'all should enjoy, like, Oklahoma State game. Shoot, the Kansas State game, all those games, like Texas Tech, like, you're not going to be playing those schools very much anymore. And so you guys should really, like, enjoy those games while you have them.
Yeah.
And just, hey, win out. Try to win out and be like, we're heading out the door. We're going to beat you as we leave the way we should.
Yeah.
That's what Nebraska did. Besides, like, Oklahoma and, like, a few others, we, like, swept the Big 12 North for, like, 2 years. Like, just, we got all those wins and got the heck out of there, which was nice.
I mean, y'all were dominant.
We were absolutely dominant
for, like, a while there.
And towards the end of our Big 12, we were a couple plays away from back-to-back Big 12 titles, which is really sad. We just choked those. But, we weren't even supposed to beat Texas. They had to add a second on the clock. But,
I mean, for OU especially, and I think, like, I mean, just from talking to students and people who are still at the university and stuff like that, because I still got friends who go to OU. And you know, like, there's a reason that I went up for the Bedlam game this year, you know, because like, all my friends were like, you know, what if there's a buyout? What if things change? Like, you don't know, like, what could be in the cards for the future, knowing that they're going to SEC. So, like, I took the time to, like, go up to the game and have a really good time. And honestly, it was good to see the boys get it done at home for, like, what could be some of the last games that we see for a really, really long time.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's the thing. I mean, Nebraska, the only Big 12 school besides Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, y'all are leaving. We played Colorado twice.
Yeah.
And we play them again this year. And that means a lot because, like, that was our other big rival
mm-hmm.
that we had. And so we play them this fall. I'm like, I went to the game my sophomore year when we played them. Like, we take over their stadium. Now, that didn't happen when we played y'all because you actually have fans. Yeah. But when we played at Colorado, like, it was a majority Nebraska fans.
Yeah.
And
that's something I want to get later, like, when we start talking about comparing the schools and stuff like that.
We'll do that later. But, yeah. Okay. So, I have one strong opinion with – okay, so this is coming out later this month. They announced that they're going to finally release, like, what the schedule – like, the conference schedule is going to look like for y'all these next 2 years in the Big 12. So – one thing that I want to have happen, I really want Texas to have to play Houston.
Yeah.
Just because, like, Texas does not want to play Houston.
No, they don't.
They absolutely don't want to play Houston. So, but, okay, so, you know, you're an Oklahoma fan.
Yeah.
There's four new Big 12 schools coming in now.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are on the way out, but they're coming in. So, that's UCF, BYU, Cincinnati, and Houston, who I just said. So, if you could only play two of those on your way out,
yeah.
So you only can play two of the four on your way out. Who are those two?
Oh, man. So, I'm going to give UCF for one reason. That's because Levy used to coach there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, I'd like to see – I know that it would probably be – like, even if they weren't, like, necessarily as deep talent-wise as, like, Oklahoma is, like, we've seen Oklahoma have the talent and not show up to some of these, like, bigger games and stuff like that. I would like him to go back there and see him – coaching against them, because they're going to know, like, sort of the play style in which he plays and, like, what he might be running and stuff like that. Seeing him coaching against his older team, I feel like that would have a chip on their shoulder and it could possibly be, like, a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also their fan base is pretty good. I mean, you saw their rise and, I guess, like, fall, you know, back when they were saying that they had, like, what was it, that they won the Natty because they beat Auburn and stuff like that. But the other that I would really like to see is BYU. I'll tell you why. Their fan base is ridiculous.
They
like
are.
when you see their stadium is packed.
They have one of the prettier landscapes. Like, they have the mountains by their stadium.
Yeah.
And of course they're like a whole, it's like Notre Dame, but like a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean it's a religious school, but like they take football very seriously. And I feel like their fan base, in terms of how much they like really care about football, is kind of slept on. Really, because they do show up to all of their games and really support their people.
There's something about playing football in the mountains, and it's really cool. It'd be nice if y'all could go there for a game before you leave.
Yeah.
That's what I would like y'all to play them too, BYU. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. You know, like, that scenery is definitely a thing, and, you know, in the mountains and stuff like that, and – you know, OU is not that scenic. You know, we're on a
– you will never get a chance to play in the mountains for years unless you play BYU. So you better do it now.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's something that I could possibly see, like, going and getting tickets to.
No, that'd be fun.
It'd be really cool to, like, go to their stadium, go to that, you know, that city and that state, because I've never been there, going into the mountains and stuff like that. I think it would be really interesting for OU to, like, be in that environment and, like, see all those fans and stuff like that, because they do get – a lot of fans, but I feel like their fans especially really show up and go hard for their games.
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's why Nebraska fans, we took over Colorado, because we not only are we going there for our game, we would go, like, hiking. I didn't go hiking. I was like, who knows what with my family. But, people go hiking. People want to, like, visit there. So it's kind of like
– oh, for sure.
It's more than just the game. So, yeah.
Well, it's the destination too, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what makes some of those amazing, you know, like, venues, like – even though, you know, the Cotton Bowl is, like, this old beat-up stadium with these, like, crappy seats. And, like, you know, it's not necessarily the best stadium. Like, if you go to the Cotton Bowl,
it kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks. I mean, the seats are way too small. Like, it's just
– it's built for skinny people from 1920.
Yes, exactly. Like, but you go there because of the setting. Like, it's a hard downtown Dallas. You can see
downtown Dallas from the stadium. So when I was – this is one of my, like, core memories as a kid. Nebraska played in the Cotton Bowl against Auburn when I was, like, 7.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before it was at Cowboy Stadium. It was at the actual Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
That used to be played at the actual Cotton Bowl, right?
Yeah.
And so – but, you know, I grew up in East Dallas. So, like, getting to the game took, like, 5 minutes. And I took that for granted so much because Nebraska hasn't played in Texas in so long. Like, I literally went to a game that was, like, not even 10 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
That was a Nebraska game. Like, that
–
and that's, like, baffling to me now, you know? And so that was so cool. But, no, and we went to a Texas OU game.
Oh, my God,
When we were, like, freshmen in high school.
Oh, dude, I think we were younger than that. I think we were like eighth grade, seventh or eighth grade. That was a lot of fun. We had some nosebleed seats, like up in, I think, the like one of the end zones.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was fun. I remember you wore a Nebraska jersey.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't the only one. There were other Nebraska people there.
You saw some Nebraska fan and y'all just immediately locked eyes.
We're just like, what's up? Yeah.
But I think that, like, you know, games like that to where, you know, the scenery is something that could be, like, you know, really impactful for the game, is something that you would, like, want to go to. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I think Devaney wants to make a little appearance. It's on the podcast. Let's go. Oh, this is funny. I was gonna say this at the beginning. Uh-huh. So there's been this like squirrel in our attic that like there's a squirrel in my attic right now that like kept waking up my parents last night because it's like right above their room. And my dad is like, as we speak, he's up in the attic trying to shoot it with a pilot gun, like right now. Like as we speak.
That's ridiculous.
I know. But anyway, so
if we hear any loud noises, that's what's happening.
That's literally what's happening. Also, my dog, Devaney. Shout out Bob Devaney. I don't know why her name is Devaney. I didn't name her that other than, you know, the football coach in the day that we had. But I was able to explain that to people. But anyway, that's a side note. She's my dog. But so last 2 years, we were blessed to have our teams play each other. So in 2021, that was, you know, I guess a little over a year ago now, that fall. But I remember we kind of had that marked out because that was the first time that we had been friends where our teams played each other.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, I was living in Lincoln at the time. I was in school, of course, and you were at OU. So I'm like, okay, Max, can you get me a student ticket? And you're like, yeah, it's going to be like $50. I'm like, that's perfect. So boom, I drive down like 6-7 hours to Norman.
Yeah,
and you got me a student ticket. We had great spot. We had great spot.
Dude, we had great seats. It was
That was so fun, man.
And it wasn't like so. I remember you called me and you were like, "Okay, so I'm coming down for the game." It wasn't like a, you know, we didn't have to invite each other because we just knew it was gonna happen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You're just like, okay, so I'm gonna come down this day, and I was like, yeah, I'll get you a ticket. And I feel like it was the same way for when I went up to Lincoln. You were just like. When I came up to Lincoln for the Nebraska OU game, you were just like, okay, so when are you flying in? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I finagled so many guest tickets when it was the game this past fall. Gosh,
how many people did you have?
I got like Dyson a ticket, Boone, you.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe like another. I was just like running around campus, like making deals. It was ridiculous. I got like so many different tickets, but.
See, that's the funny thing about, you know, getting student tickets, especially at OU. Like, we have these pretty like large group needs. So you can find a ticket fairly easily because there's someone not going to the game. But our tickets when you came down were great. Like, like sitting in the student section and stuff like that. And Connor came down as well. He was wearing his Baylor gear.
Connor, like, they liked me because I was at least, like, I had a good time. I don't know. There was a lot of, like, it was a close game. So there was a lot of trash talk back and forth. Was. And so they actually liked me. But Connor wearing a Baylor shirt was just, like, who, like, that was so offensive to them.
Yeah,
that
they
was,
were just like, stop. Just stop.
It was funny because I was, like, the only Nebraska fan, like, in y'all's whole section.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing, like, kids that I knew, like, I literally had classes with.
Yeah.
Going over to like the corner, like they were kind of the same entrance. Uh-huh. But I was like, damn, like there were a lot of us Nebraska people there at the game too. Oh my
God, dude. Like that's what was so we ended up going to the bars the night before the game and we went out to one of like the main spots on Campus Corner, which is where all the bars are. It's called Logie's. And so we went there and I was expecting like a pretty even like amount of each side being there. It was all Nebraska people. I remember I tried to do the chant and like no one responded. Yeah, I just sat there like one person responded, another guy was like, stop. And I was like, okay. Dude. I was like, your freaking governor was
Dean
there.
Ricketts was out the room.
It was ridiculous.
And like I was like 5 feet away from Pete Ricketts and his whole entourage and I'm just like what is like? All right, we here. I guess
it was ridiculous. Like, so that's what I was talking. Like, I wanted to talk about a little bit more. Was just like, you know, having both of y'all, or like having each other, like we've gotten a feel for like our fan bases and stuff like that. One thing I respect out of like respect y'all for is, you know, the amount y'all travel.
Oh yeah, no.
Oh my God, it's crazy. Cause like I expect like, what was it? 6 hours, 7 hours from
North It's North? Like six and a half.
Yeah. So six, it's, I don't know. That's a drive. That's not a short drive. And I expected like a good amount of Nebraska people because like it was the first time like a big rivalry. Like a lot of the older crowd remembers when it was like super big. But oh my God, y'all took over. It was ridiculous. It was just a sea of red at all the bars, at the games and everything. But yeah, the tickets were really nice. And I remember we were sweating. Like it was so hot.
The sun was on us. 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm. That was a rough start. Like that, getting up at 8 a.m., get everything going and stuff like that. But we saw that interception in the end zone.
That was the best pick I've probably ever seen.
Yeah, and who? Oh my God, the basketball player. Who's he played at OU? What's his name?
Oh, Trey Young was
there. Yeah, Trey Young was there, and he got like an Instagram video of the pick like right in front of him. But that game, it's again the problem with OU. What I've had a problem with is that just they, you know, they should be, no offense, be beating teams of y'all's caliber, like to where y'all are good, but like y'all lose.
I don't know if you watched us. We were garbage at points last year. We actually had a really talented team 2 years ago. Yeah. It was just that our offense was completely incompetent, and any like, if it was crunch time, we'd lose every single time. If you watch this,
that's what it came down to.
Our defense got a stop. We got the ball back with a minute left. But I had seen that happen to us so many times. Like, we're not coming. Like, I knew we weren't coming down to score.
Yeah.
I knew we wouldn't do it. And so it was like, we were so predictable. We put everything on Adrian Martinez. We didn't have anyone else to really back him up. We didn't have like a good running back to back him up. We just didn't have it. And so.
What did you feel like the student section was when you came to OU? Did you like the environment? Did anything surprise you about it?
I knew it would be that way. The thing is,
so like, what way do you mean?
Okay, well, culturally, it's different in Nebraska because people are genuinely like, when people from out of state come to Nebraska, that's a rare thing.
Yeah.
So people are really nice. Unless it's Colorado or Iowa. Well, we're even nice to Iowa, honestly.
Yeah.
Unless it's Colorado. Thanks, Devaney. Oh, she's knocked over your water.
Devaney.
That's fine. But we're really nice to everybody who comes in. I knew that, like, OU is a frat school. Nebraska's not. And going to OU, I knew I was going to have to deal with all these frat boys.
Well, that's why we got the seats that we did in the first place. No. Those budget savings, dude.
So, anyway. People are louder and more in your face in the South.
Yeah.
And so I knew that was going to be the way it was. Unless we're talking about, like, Wisconsin, it was a totally different story. But, yeah, people are more louder in your face in the South. And so I knew that was how it was going to be, but that's normal. I mean, and plus – we're not like UT. Like Nebraska is like, I don't know. It's like a respectable thing. We're not like an enemy, you know. So
you honor the legacy, like the legacy of the previous games and stuff. Like
yeah,
that,
this is what caught me off guard. And we didn't even do this for y'all when you guys came this past year. There was a whole like, it was the 50th anniversary celebration of a game that y'all lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like y'all were celebrating a game that y'all lost on your own field, like for. Yeah. Like our visiting fans. That's the thing. Like, unless you were a Nebraska fan and you're there, you wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
And so that was what was really cool.
I like seeing that like respect between the old rivalry, because even though like our programs aren't at the same level anymore, it's nice to see that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That just that respect.
Yeah. I mean, this past year, it was really exciting because like you came in town, Boone came in town. We didn't even go out the night before because we knew we had to get up so early.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't even scoot me from the airport until, like, what, like 10 o'clock or something?
Your flight came in later. We were like, we knew we couldn't go out the night before, so we're like, man, we're going to have to, like, just go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then, you know, actually, now that I think of it, I feel like we did go out that night, the night before.
No, we had to go get people. That's what it was.
No, that's right. We had to go pick up people from the bars.
Yeah, so we
at
literally
like one or two.
Yeah, we literally got like drove back from the airport and had to scoop Boone and Dyson from.
Yeah.
I don't know, what was that place?
Uh,
it was like some like Oh my god, it's some Euro place or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, they got went and got Gourmet Grill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, absolutely wild. Yeah, no, we didn't even sleep till like 2 or something. We yeah. woke up at like probably 7 or something. I don't even know.
It was so early. Oh my god.
Well, we were coming off. We had just lost to Georgia Southern. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
And we were doing really bad. Like, we lost the season opener, like, the first game of the season in college football.
It was played in Ireland.
We lost. Yes. We blew that game to the worst team in Power 5, Northwestern. Yeah. We, like, played a close game until late against knocking over the water against North Dakota. We lose to Georgia Southern. Which was, I thought, I honestly was like, just end this. Like, just fire Frost now. We finally fired him. And then, you know, the OU game, like, I was hopeful that we'd, like, have, like, just a YOLO, like, just throw it out there, maybe we'll win game, which it looked like because we had that Trey, like, our best player catched a touchdown pass, Trey Palmer, and we're up 7-0, got a stop on defense.
I was sweating a little bit.
And I was after like,
that opening drive, y'all looked good.
I was like, okay. And then after that, we didn't score again until, like, garbage time. Y'all killed us. And so, and I mean, y'all were a way better football team at that time. And so.
Yeah, I feel like.
Yeah.
I came. So, you know, we're coming off like the game that we had last year. So I was expecting like a lot of the game to happen. And, you know, it was just. I honestly, it sounds bad, but I would have liked it to have been a little bit more competitive because by the second quarter or the beginning of the second quarter, we were up a couple touchdowns.
It was like 35-7 and a half.
Yeah, it was just. And, you know, we stayed. Like, everyone else, like, got over there. You and me stayed for a minute.
Almost all of the game. It was bad. It was really bad. That was, like, one of the worst games I've been to in a while. I would say it was hype at the first part, but, like, that was one of the worst games I've been to. Just because there was no hope for our season anyway.
Yeah.
Because our entire hope of the season was put on the first game. We blew it. And at that point, it was, like, just a downhill. Now, they ended up winning 3 conference games after that loss to OU. Like, we won our next 2, but
– Yeah. But we're just coming off the Frost fire.
Yeah,
right?
We literally that fired him 6 days before.
Yeah, and, dude, you know, that's such a tough thing going into, like, an Oklahoma team that had a chip on their shoulder with a new head coach coming in, you know what I mean? And they really wanted to set the tone. And they looked good, but I think there were also, like, glimpses of good things at Nebraska. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like even though y'all weren't putting things together, y'all were at least trying things and moving the ball, and I started to see some just, you know, some fire and stuff like that. I mean, defense wasn't really out there, but I saw some things that I really liked on offense. And yeah. I would say that even though we got a couple of sacks, I liked your O-line looking pretty good.
Oh, God, they were so bad. Don't say that.
except that one guy. What's that one guy?
The right tackle.
The right tackle. He was garbage. He was
we're not
so going to
say
bad.
The name. We're just going to spare all those people. They're trying to bring in transfers for all that. But you guys went 7-5 and then lost your bowl game? Or was it 8-4?
No, I don't even know if it's that high. I can't remember the record right now. No, we. I mean, honestly, by hello to Manny.
Get out of here! This is the most like this is the funniest Brother Daniel podcast in a while. Like, usually it's kind of like it's very like straightforward, but this is like just chill right now.
OU, no, yeah, we went 6-7 overall.
6-7.
Yeah, we had a losing record. Yeah, no, I thought I was like, dude, you're giving us a little bit too much credit.
I forgot y'all. I mean, because Gabriel got hurt for a while. What it was is you guys blew us out, which was not saying much because we were awful the first half of the season, really.
Yeah.
And so y'all blew us out. And then you got Kansas State coming in.
With freaking Deuce.
And y'all and they ran all over y'all. And so you lose that. It was close, but you lost. And then, you know, you don't get a start Gabriel against Texas.
Got
it. Started like
– oh.
General Booty or something.
No, it wasn't General Booty. It was this guy. I can't remember his name, but he's 6'6". I think he's a monster. He's so big, but like it shows how bad he was that they were running the Wildcat.
They ran Wildcat with like your I don't know who because they had no other offense. And you guys,
yeah.
That was the worst Red River rivalry ever seen. Like
it was the first time they went scoreless since like the 80s.
First, oh yeah, because you guys
they
scored 0.
They didn't score. It was the first time they had gone without scoring since the 80s. It was ridiculous.
I tried to grab the rabbit out of her mouth, and she's like, "Nah." Devaney, you're interrupting the podcast. Okay, Devaney, so okay, we can talk about Oklahoma going forward because y'all, I mean, this is an interesting phase you're in. You got like potentially 2 years left. Maybe you buy out a year early. I think you can't. I know the SEC has their schedule set for next year, so I really don't think y'all are, you would have to pay like an insane amount of money to get out. But what is, okay, so let's see what we got here. Obviously, do we want to talk about Lincoln Riley, or do we want to just leave him in the past? Because
I mean, I'll touch on it for a little bit, because I thought you mentioned that you might have like heard what was happening on campus when it went down, like when he left and everything like that. Do you want to talk about that?
Didn't he try? You told me something that was like very, very profound. You said he tried to like talk to the team after he left. And, like, DeMarco Murray said, like, stood up and just, like, said something. What was that again?
So, basically, I think from what I heard, this might be false, but I'm pretty sure this is what I heard, that he basically came in to say his goodbyes, essentially, to the players. So, he brought them all into, like, whatever little room, whatever room that they had to set everyone up. And the coaches came in, and it was a blindside, man. I mean, I even had a football player in one of my in my Spanish class, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, did you see this coming?" He was like, "Not at all, man. Like, we didn't know." And but he came in, and Lincoln Riley was apparently like kind of crying and just kind of explaining what was going on and stuff like that. Which, like, you know, DeMarco Murray, which you know was a dominant running back, like Oklahoma, like
NFL too.
Yeah, so. NFL. So like, he's our running back coach. And he apparently he stood up and he was just like, "You don't give a damn about these players." He was just like, "Just get out of here," blah, 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 blah. And Lincoln eventually left. And I think DeMarco Murray got up and said something, but I'm not sure. But he was kind of, you know, you get a guy who's been through that many different things, you know, went to college, went to the NFL, had like a fairly successful career, has been through those trades. And I think he went to the Chiefs once he left the –
He was Cowboys. With the Cowboys, yeah.
No, he was with the Cowboys, and I think once for some reason he didn't get signed, or he was at the Chiefs and he did well at the Chiefs, and then he didn't get signed again because I think Kareem Hunt showed up, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, you had a guy that's gone through a bunch of those things, so he's been around the block one or two times, so I feel like that was the kind of guy that they needed in there, especially for those players.
Yeah.
To say what's going on. Dude, I'll tell you, it was scary because we lost
a lot of players.
Like 12. Or 15 starters or something like that.
Yeah.
It was just, we got gutted, just absolutely gutted. He took all of our coaches. He took all of our players. They either transferred or went with him, especially Caleb Williams looking so sharp. And we were so excited for a career. Like, you know, honestly, a bunch of the fans were looking at like the next like Baker or Kyler. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He just won the Heisman.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it was obvious. And I remember going to the spring game and they had Rattler doing some stuff, which, that's the whole thing. But then Caleb came in and started throwing in the spring game before that season.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, "Who is this guy? Like, what is this guy?" Like, obviously, like, the hardcore fans knew him, but, like, you know, I didn't know him at the time. I was like, "Who is this guy?" I was like, "This kid is ridiculous." But there was hate for Lincoln Riley, man. Like, there, it was ridiculous. So we have a statue in what we call the South Oval, which is where, like, a bunch of the classes are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a statue of the seat. It was either the seat sower or across the, like, the practice field thing. But basically, someone took in red paint and wrote traitor on the front of it and hung it on one of the – it was either the – I think – no. It was the practice field plaque. It wrote traitor in this banner and hung it on it.
Dude.
And the hate for him – was so much. It was insane. Especially because we had just lost Bedlam, the OSU game, and they asked him, "Are you going to be the next head coach of LSU? Like, are you leaving?" And he was like, "I will not be the next head coach of LSU." And then turns around and goes to USC.
Like, the next day.
The next day, yeah. Okay. And so that's where, like, you know, and there were rumors about him going to the Cowboys and being the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys.
I don't think he would work in the NFL.
I don't think he would either. I don't think the type of offense he runs works in the NFL, especially the modern NFL, the pass heavy, you know, not really for the scramble and stuff like that, unless you're like Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe he'd be like a Cliff Kingsbury, but he just got fired. I will say, you guys really shouldn't be salty at him anymore. I get, like, in the moment.
Yeah.
But looking at it just from okay, just from what we saw at USC, they had a pretty good year, but like it's the same. They're basically the same thing.
It's the same.
They can't play defense.
No.
They have a great quarterback who's a Heisman. They put up a ton of points, but they still can't close out on defense. You see, they lost to Tulane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Tulane's a good team, like a really good team.
Who did they lose to in the final game, like their bowl game?
They lost to Tulane.
Oh, okay, that was Tulane.
That was the Cotton Bowl, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, which was the best game I thought all year. It was like an amazing game. I don't know if you saw that, but.
So I think the thing that, and this is what I really think made OU people so angry that he left, was that OU, when they have a coach, they keep them forever.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're there for decades running the program. You had Bob and, like, all of the people that came before him. And, like, you know, so when we finally pick a guy for how much we love OU football as a fan base and as a city and stuff like that, when we get a head coach in there and we give them the keys to the kingdom, like, we want them to stay forever. We want them to, like, that's their career. I mean, God, what was the famous one you quoted? He's got a house on campus, like right off campus. And he still comes around and like will walk on campus every once in a while and see him. I can't remember his name. It starts with B, of course, because the name has to start with
I
name,
don't know.
But anyway, I look like a bad fan right now. But whatever.
It's whatever, dude. Old people.
Exactly. But they stick around forever. And when he was there for only like whatever, 4 or 5 years he was there, 3 years, whatever.
No, it was long. When did Stoops retire? Was that 2013, 2014?
No.
It was
later than that.
It was whenever it was like Baker's first year with y'all was, I think, Stoops last year or something.
Okay, yeah, that would have been it.
Like 2014?
Yeah.
So Riley was there for like 6 years, basically, six, seven?
Which, I mean, for general programs, that's a good tenure.
I mean, that is.
That's a good tenure for a head coach to be there. For us, that's like the beginning of the iceberg.
Well, what it was is that like Stoops had started in 99, and y'all, I don't know how much you know, but y'all were down bad in most of the 90s.
Oh, terrible, yeah.
You know?
And then he turned the program around.
So Stoops turned around like 99, 2000, y'all won the championship, and you know, he's there for years, and it's like, okay, you have everything laid out for you. Literally, he just handed him, Stoops handed Lincoln Riley, like, this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You've been here. Now it's yours.
Yeah.
Literally handed it off. And so it's like he's expected to be that guy going forward.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he leaves for USC, which.
Which he got. I mean, his deal was ridiculous. You know what I mean? He got an amazing house, a bunch of money. Like, he just runs the kingdom, you know.
I think he peaked at Oklahoma, though, because he hasn't gotten. They were the same thing that y'all were at USC. You know, I think I think you guys, if Venables can figure it out in the next couple of years, which I think he can, you guys could be better off going forward. It's just going to be a matter of time.
So,
do you think you guys are going to be better off with him or with Venables, or would you, what do you think?
So, here's the thing. OU football for a while now has just been, we run a certain type of program. And for the last, God, forever, it's been offensive heavy, hope the defense can take care of it, and we pull out a win. But 99% of the time, it's a shootout. And I think that the thing that OU fans now have to realize is that we're not doing that anymore. Like, that's not the offense, and that's not the program that we're going to be running.
I think the Big 12 actually got better at defense in the last couple of years, too.
I think it has, yeah. I think we've gotten a lot more defensive players coming in, and, like, the transfer portal has definitely opened up a lot of options and stuff like that, and NIL deals, of course. But I think that's a big thing with OU is that, you know, Lincoln just – of course, would I rather have Lincoln running the offense and Venables running the defense? Yeah, that would be ridiculous. But they're playing two different types of ball. You know, like, just like you said, he went to USC and did the same thing. I can't remember the defensive coordinator that he took.
Grinch.
Yeah. He took Grinch. Grinch was okay. I never saw, like, anything that really amazed me in terms of his, like, defensive mind.
When they played a team that could run, like Utah, they played Utah, and that team can run.
Yeah.
They got ran over. They lost Utah twice.
Yeah.
They played this little running back who probably weighed like 190 pounds for Tulane ran all over them for like 200 yards probably.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, get him, Devaney. Come hang out with the boys. Come on. Get him. You know, she just wants to be with the boys.
She does. But, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is that OU, I think, for the long term, will be better off with Venables. Because I think defense wins championship. And that's really true. And if we could get someone to just take care of the offense where you could get – and we just got a really good recruit at QB coming in for the 2023 class. Like, really excited to see him play.
Mm-hmm.
And so – you know, I'm excited moving forward what we have for OU, what's going on, and I think in the long run, in terms of the amount of defensive recruits and the different type of program that we're going to be building, I think we're going to be better off with Venables. I really do.
So
as long as Levy stays around,
yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
So I would say this, just with how so SEC and Big Ten are both going to 16 teams the next couple of years because we're Big Ten grabbed the LA schools. Texas OU, obviously, SEC. So, literally, we have a 16-team SEC conference.
Yeah.
And so, like, it gets to a point where they better play 9 conference games. They probably will just because, like, that's going to generate so much money.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably – okay, so SEC goes likely to 9 conference games. You know, it's going to be a packed league.
Yeah.
Think about all the blue bloods and all the good teams in the SEC. It's insane, right? So, like, what does success even look like at that point when, you know, you're not playing – the same, I mean, totally new teams you're playing, and a lot of them are going to be better than what you've been playing.
The talent. The talent.
Like, what is a successful season going to look like in the SEC? Like, 9-3?
So I'll go through this right now, what I'd like to see for the next, like, two, before we even talk about the SEC, next 2 years, like, us still in the Big 12. What I'd like to see is, I'm not looking for dominance, I'm just looking for building. You know what I mean? The next 2 years, I want to see them build, I want to see, like, progress being made. I think a lot of what I had a problem with, a lot of the stuff that I saw in terms of where we were hurting on defense was just blown coverages, just people not knowing their job, and just like simple mental mistakes that caused big plays. And you know, we didn't have a winning season. That's unheard of at OU.
Yeah.
You know, like when I was there as a freshman, sophomore, junior, we were pissed off if we lost a game that season.
Pissed because you only had a 7-3 lead on Nebraska at halftime.
Yeah.
You were used to scoring like 28 at half.
OU fans are some of the most spoiled fans in college football. Yes. It is ridiculous. Because, I mean, seriously, like.
Y'all been to a bowl every year since like 90, I don't know, whenever Stoops got there, basically.
Yeah.
Every year, you're at a bowl. You never have a losing season.
And we're upset if we're not winning. See, this is what the crazy thing about OU is. We're upset if we're not winning by a big enough margin. We're not just satisfied with winning. We need to blow out everything. But anyway, what I want to see.
You want to keep that because you don't want to become Nebraska.
Yeah, I know.
And you won't become Nebraska because you're so dang close to the state of Texas. Like, you're going to get good players.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of Nebraska's problems is that we left the Big 12, which was our like main recruiting state, right?
Yeah,
Texas was.
Yeah,
and then we go to the Big 10, and we don't keep our identity. We go downhill, and then until Matt Rhule came in this year, we have seven recruits from the state of Texas this year. That's the most we've had in like 12 years.
Yeah,
13 years. So, yeah. I mean. You know,
but so back to the question of like, what do I think success looks like in the SEC?
So, yeah, SEC.
So, yeah, I think like 9-3. Like, if we came in that first year and went 9-3, I'd be pretty freaking happy. Because, okay. I mean, you're going through Georgia, you know, you're going through,
not every year, but not every year.
But I mean, you've got
A&M, Texas,
LSU,
Bama,
Ole Miss can be good,
and A&M's all right sometimes.
You got to play in Auburn. You know, if you play Auburn. Tennessee's looking really good. They're starting to get some recruits and stuff like that. And this is the thing, is that what worries me for OU and their future, and this is what I think is one of their biggest problems, wide receiver, like where we're not deep at, is wide receiver. I like to see a little bit more wide receiver depth.
Yeah, y'all didn't have, very many good guys last year.
And then offensive line. That's what I really want to see start becoming powerful because, you know, you get one of those big – Alabama recruits coming around the edge, weighing it at 300 pounds. He's 6'3", 6'4". Dylan Gabriel getting hit twice by that guy.
Yeah,
my God. He's going to be hurting. And if he takes two of those shots every game, or two or four of those shots every game for the season, that's a lot of man to be hit by that many times. You know what I mean?
If you have a decent QB and a really good O-line in college football, you already have really athletic people playing the skill spots. Yeah. You're good on offense.
Yeah.
But what the problem is that there will be teams, this is what Nebraska, this has been their problem the last like 5 years. Mm-hmm. They'll have good skill players. Doesn't matter because their O-line's so bad.
Yep.
So it's like you can't even create anything on offense because like, oh, it's 3rd and 11 and they're blitzing. And there's like, what are you going to do? You have 3.5 seconds to throw the ball.
Yeah.
At most. Right. So it's like,
on a good day.
It's like, dude,
but
it changes everything. And when we played high school football, like you were on the O-line.
Yeah.
And I was a receiver. Yeah. But like, you were like one. I mean, we had 5 guys who could play O-line, maybe.
Yeah.
Like maybe 4.
Yeah.
And we just threw someone out there and it was like, we were on screens, and Spencer was running for his life.
Yes.
When we were playing. Because we had these big boys came through, and it was like.
It was like me and Connor could kind of maybe hold our own, and then everyone else, like, we had, like, freshmen on the line and stuff like that, and they were just getting, you know. But, I mean, you know, it always comes down to a line. It's such, like, an overlooked position, I really think, for, like, you know, how good a team's really going to be. But also, something that I don't think OU and Texas are really thinking about is you got to go play in those stadiums. You got to go play at LSU. You've got to play at Auburn. You've got to play at Alabama.
It's college football country.
You got to play at Tennessee. You know what I mean? So, like, those environments are just insane. And, you know, we like to talk about, you know, the Cotton Bowl is a really hostile environment to play in. That's going to be every week.
Well, that's a neutral site, too.
I know.
You play – I would say the only weak fan base I can think of is not Kentucky, obviously. They're old, they're okay. Yeah. Vanderbilt's weak, but they were the worst team in the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Missouri, I don't even know if their fans are real. I've never run into a Missouri fan. They used to be in the Big 12, but like, whatever. Nebraska always beat them. Let me think. Yeah, Arkansas's crazy, but like even like the bad, like Mississippi State's crazy.
They're not even that good. I think that's probably going to be one of the biggest things. And again, I'll tell you, I've started seeing a little bit more, you know, sort of SEC type, you know, environment level stuff at OU. You know, we've started getting the lights going, you know, to where shutting off the lights and doing special things and stuff like that. Yeah. And I mean, that might be a standard for just like every school, but seeing that kind of gives me a little bit of hope to where at least we're starting to like, you know, raise the noise level, get them a little bit accustomed to it, you know.
Okay. So this is the other question I have. What's like, so suppose Oklahoma wins the SEC or they compete. Okay, like if you guys only win the SEC once every like 8 to 10 years, is that successful? Because I would say it is.
I would say it's success. I mean,
think about who all the teams are in that league. If you were able to, like, okay, Max, y'all are going to the SEC, it's been really hard, but you're going to win the conference once every 8 years. Would you take that?
Yeah.
Because that's – I would take that. That's
a major accomplishment.
I would take that.
It's a major accomplishment. I mean, you know, OU's beat Nebraska – or not Nebraska, Alabama a few times in the last couple of years. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, they beat Bama back in the day.
Mm-hmm. So, that was a big win, you know, but it's – you know, OU's used to running things.
Y'all have been running, you know, the Big 12.
Yeah. We've been running the Big 12. I mean, in the last – like, what – I think – I mean, we keep up to having to update it because it was almost like winning the Big 12 was just common. It was almost like a right to us.
You blew out everyone. Texas would choke against y'all. I mean, choke isn't like – even if they played a game out of their minds, they'd still lose.
They'd still lose.
You know, and then, like, maybe you drop one like Kansas State or something. Yeah. But you'd beat everybody, and, like, the only competition would – I mean, you guys – most years it was like you guys were just winning it. Like, everybody knew. It was like 11-1, 12-0, you win it.
Yep. And see, I think that one of the things that kind of worries me a little bit is that I want to see OU's sort of definition of success of not having these 12-0 or 11-1 seasons and being super freaking proud of like a 10-2, 9-3 type season to where you're going up against these absolute powerhouses and dominant schools. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that if we can switch our, you know, standards of success, we can still be happy with our team and the work that we're putting in and doing.
Yeah, I don't know. Standards change because, like, it used to be, you know, conferences used to be like 8-10 teams, and if you win your conference, then like, there you are, you're like undefeated. But now it's like, if you're in a power conference now, you know, you, I mean, if you go 12-0 in the SEC in like 2030, that's an amazing, that is
yeah,
like,
that's ridiculous.
That is an amazing football team.
Yeah.
Like 12-0,
mm-hmm.
with a nine, if the SEC, when the SEC goes 9 conference games, it's going to look totally different. In the Big Ten, you know, if you're not, if you're an average football team in the Big Ten, you'd be happy going 6-6, 7-5.
Yeah.
You know, so
I will say the one thing that I am excited for is that, you know, it seems as though every time OU plays someone in the Big 12, it is their Super Bowl, man.
Yeah.
Like, they take it so freaking seriously, it's not even funny. Like, they are just playing. Even, like, bad teams, like Kansas comes in, they're playing out of their minds because it's, you know, OU, like, we've got the you know, the classic when, like, Baker went up against Kansas. We had a really good team, you know, but they were chipping us the whole game, not shaking Baker's hand, stuff like that. Every single team that played, and I guess that's something that
I think everyone just hated Baker, let's be honest.
I mean, that might be a possibility. That's definitely a possibility. But, like, for me, it's I'm looking forward to everyone not seeing us as their Super Bowl. Everyone not seeing us as the Natty. And, like, just having, you know.
Well, I will say, your first couple years in the SEC, you and Texas have targets.
Oh,
now,
absolutely.
Your target is not as big as Texas, which is just like.
Oh, my God, Texas is.
Texas' target,
Texas.
When they come in, is going to be insane.
Well, because at least, you know, we've done fairly well the years before this one.
You've been respectable.
Like, we've been respectable. You know, Texas is just, God. I mean, they're the Cowboys fans of the college football. You know, this
they
is
are.
Our year. This is our year. We're going to do great. Like, what was their quarterback that came in this year? What was his name? He was a transfer. Can't remember his name.
I was going to say Hudson Card. He just transferred to Purdue.
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, they were screaming that Quinn Ewers was going to be, you know, the second.
Cut his hair first of
all. Oh, my gosh.
It looks terrible. I know that doesn't matter because if you're the starting QB at Texas, you just have to plow it in Austin. But, like, that haircut is terrible,
not
dude.
Not as bad as Spencer Rattler with the
Ford. Spencer Rattler is the biggest. We're not talking about
that.
Yeah,
we're not talking about that. But.
Speaking of the Cowboys, actually, that was – I knew that, like, no matter what, like,
oh,
they just weren't going to win that game on Sunday.
Yeah, it was – dude, that was a heartbreak. I mean, this is like – Devaney, stop eating the ice that you spilled.
She's fine.
But anyway, just like you, like, I've majority been, like, a college football fan.
Yeah.
I really got into professional sports. A lot of the guys that I was hanging out with in college, you know, they had a fantasy league, so they're constantly talking fantasy. And, you know, NFL Red Zone was a staple on Sunday. Like, we just grab our laptops, go downstairs and watch Red Zone all day long.
That's awesome.
So, I, you know, it was more of like I really needed to be into it. So, this is like the first year that I've, like, really followed the Cowboys, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, like, I was, like, fairly invested because I, you know, I watched – or, like, I'd say last year was. Last year was the time in which I, like, got really invested because – it stopped in, like, my fraternity house and at my house. Like, when the Cowboys were on, everyone shut up. We're watching the Cowboys. And so, seeing them come, like, this year and getting that road win against Brady and, like, you know, it was really nice to see. But, like, you know, I saw a stat that, like, you know, Romo and Dak are the same in playoffs as of right now, win wise.
I know, dude.
Which is, you know, you just keep seeing them choke, and it's just hard to see. And again, like, man, I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this. I don't think Dak's the guy. I really don't. Like, I like what he's done with the program, and he really looked good when he first started. But I haven't seen that next gear hit yet. I haven't seen him get to that just, like, you know, special level to where, you know, because even the passes that he was making in that game, I really didn't see him, you know, really connecting with a whole lot of receivers, and deep balls were underthrown. And, like, that pass by CeeDee Lamb, which was absolutely ridiculous. I don't know if you saw that. Like, catching over his shoulder while being tackled.
That was a really good catch.
But that would have been housed if he had the arm for it, you know? I can't remember how far it was, though, but he was launching that ball. But he underthrew it. But, you know...
The Romo to Dak situation is interesting because Romo, I would say, I don't remember well enough to say for sure, but it was interesting because actually it was 2015. It was Romo's last actual year with the Cowboys because, you know, he started out the year and he was playing well, gets hurt,
he got tackled going to the outside.
Yeah.
You immediately see him grab his back. and Dak Prescott.
And it comes Dak. And, you know, Romo got healthy by the end of the year and could have been the guy for the Cowboys in the playoffs. But they decided to stick with Dak. And then Romo was like, well, I've had a career. I'm out.
Well, Dak and Zeke went off that year.
That was like, totally fair. Monsters. But would you ever wonder if, like, they would have stuck with Romo if, like, they would have, you think, put it together?
I don't think so. I think Romo was too hurt and too old, honestly.
That's probably true.
Like, his back was just – his back was wrecked. And, you know, he had his shots with his teams. You know, he had those chances to where he had, like, decently-looking teams. And they,
he had his chances,
they went deep, you know, like that. But he never really, you know, made it happen. And, you know – God, seeing Tony Pollard get hurt was terrible. That was rough. Yeah. Once I saw that
He's
so much better than Zeke.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about Tony Pollard. He's not like that, like, hard-nosed run. Like, he's not going to, like, you know, bust through the A-gap and, like, and drag two linebackers with him. He's very, like, cutty, get him outside. He sort of reminds you of Tyreek Hill. You know, he's very shifty. Like, really hits a hole hard, has good vision.
He could play slot receiver or he could play running back.
It's Yeah. But, I mean, seeing him get – once I saw him get hurt, I was just like, man, okay.
I wasn't surprised with how the game went because you saw Dak nearly hand the game away when we played the Texans, one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
He like, basically – if it weren't for, like, a lucky goal line stand,
yeah,
we would have lost to the Texans.
Yep.
We got lucky that game. Somehow they came out and won the game. Dak almost threw it away. Like, it's not – okay, it's not what you do just in the playoffs. Like, yes, Dak failed on this past Sunday with especially that second pick he threw. Like, yes, like, he didn't do a good enough job for us to win. But at the same time, it's not just what you do in the playoffs. He had more interceptions than any other QB in the whole league, and he only played, like, 12, 13 games.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. And he's not – no, I agree with you. He's not it. Look at what Joe Burrow's doing. And, okay, Burrow missed, like, almost his whole first year of NFL towards ACL. In his second full year, he's going back-to-back AFC titles.
Yeah.
But potentially back to, like, Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And that's because he does it all year.
Yeah.
You know? And so Dak's not it. And Jerry Jones' dumbass needs to move on.
Oh, my God. I mean, just having Jerry Jones be there and there's – you know, like, he's – I think he's starting to, you know, step away from the role and stuff like that. But, like, you have a way more inexperienced Joe Burrow who's consistent and stays locked in and is really able to produce. And you got to, like, have a decision. Like, I think the Cowboys have a big decision this year to decide whether or not, you know, like, when his contract is up, are you bringing Dak back or not? I think, again, Dak got hurt. You know, he broke his leg. You know, it's really limited his, you know, you don't see him scramble that much. You're not seeing him run, which I did like to see him run in that game. He was running a little bit, which made me happy. He had a really good rollout run in the Tampa Bay game. In the red zone where he scored.
That he played really well against Tampa Bay.
He played, but that's the thing, though. Like, he's very streaky. We saw a whole different Dak in Tampa. Like, he looked phenomenal. He looked really good. He was he was doing it all. Yeah. And then you get back to San Francisco, throwing picks again, not really executing, throwing behind his receivers, throwing balls that you shouldn't be throwing in the first place, and just putting them in bad positions.
There were too many times where, like, he would throw, like, a crossing route, but, like, the dude was, like, there's an outside linebacker or someone waiting, like, just waiting for it. You didn't see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a good QB. He's probably a top 10 QB in the pool.
Not with those interceptions.
He's a top 15 QB in the NFL.
Yeah. He's not, I would say. I'm not saying he's garbage. Like, Dak is a good player, but, like, he's not, he hasn't, like I said, he hasn't hit that gear yet. He hasn't hit that level that I would like to have seen him this far in his career, or, like, you know, getting a little bit deeper into his career, approaching, like, a little bit of a later age. I would like to see a little bit more maturity and consistency out of him. And, God, man, you can't turn over the ball two times in a game and expect to come out on top. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, not against the 49ers there. No. They could have done at the end, but they didn't have time. We could talk about some transfer portal stuff. I mean, there's not a ton to say, I feel like. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, my team's Nebraska, Max, Oklahoma, of course. I will say Nebraska added, this guy was like a 5-star out of high school, Eric Gilbert. He was at LSU and then Georgia. He's kind of been transferring all over the place. We ended up getting him this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like 6'6", 260. He's massive.
That's a big boy.
Yeah. That's a big and boy. The thing is, like, he'll probably be a top two or starter tight end for us. It's just a matter of, can our coaching staff, like, get his head right? He wasn't going to start at Georgia because they have Bowers, right? But so he's on our team now. And then we added three recruits, two of them from the state of Texas, and two of them being three stars. So, you know, we added those guys, Demetrius Bell, Jeremiah Charles, and Ismael Smith-Flores. So, you know, they're recruiting the state of Texas right now, which is great. I mean, we're here in Dallas right now, so the best players in the country come from the state of Texas, in my opinion. That's a total bias statement, too. And you guys got Andrew Anthony from Michigan. I noticed that. He was good when he was there.
Again, adding to that wide receiver deficit that we have, which I really like to see.
So Walter Rouse is a tackle, grad transfer from Stanford. He was committed to us, and he visited y'all after he committed to us and was like, yeah, I'm going here. Totally fair, because you guys are better, so I get that. Our fans were salty. I'm like, yo, like, we're not – I totally get it. It's his last year of football. He's going to play at Stanford, so give me that bunny rabbit. But I guess, you know, I want to show you a funny video. So this guy, you got a good player out of Indiana, Desan McCullough. He transferred to your school. Now, I totally understand him transferring. I want to show you this video. Maybe I can end up putting this on the YouTube video I post of this, but this is so funny. So this is Indiana's head football coach before their last game. It's like a rivalry game they have. And this is like, his name's Tom Allen. This is his speech before the game. And I think it's like it's just so cringe. I'm just going to show it to you. Maybe I could play it on here at the same time.
5 years. Legacy. Physicality. Passion. And one. Playing as one. All three phases together. Living out our DNA today, baby. Living it out. Today. Relentless. For 60 minutes and beyond. Whatever it takes to earn the right to take back the bucket. Bucket up 3-1-2-3-1. Let's go, baby.
Look at all of those players. They
do not look at this guy at number zero is just staring at the ground like, coach, I don't give a damn.
Number zero is like, I knew I shouldn't come here.
Look at
that good old number 69 right there. Let's see, his expression is just like.
Look at the left of the screen. Look at this guy laughing. So that's Indiana. Tom Allen has got like 1 year left, in my opinion. They're a mess right now.
That guy is that one like kid who takes it way too seriously in high school and just keeps that energy forever.
This guy is like the only
oh my god, that
like it brings the players together because they're like, yo, coach is whack.
He was trying to hype him up so hard. He made them better together, but because they all think he's flat.
He tried to hype them up so hard that he did the opposite of hype them up. He made them like, I do not want to say this.
The physicality thing.
Physicality. Relentless. And you hear that little like in the background, like the little like pity.
the one guy that I bet every single one of his teammates looked at him just like, just stop.
Don't say anything.
Don't make him go. Don't make him do it anymore.
It's so funny. I saw that like over Christmas break. God. I saw that video.
That is great.
And it was so good. So anyway, I just wanted to show you that.
If you haven't seen that video, look at that video. That was amazing.
I'm gonna post it on the video. I guess okay. So you know, obviously, we're talking about the Cowboys losing the 49ers. So the NFC is set and the AFC is set too. So you know, this weekend we got two games. Mm-hmm. Eagles, 49ers, and then Bengals, Chiefs. I really just want the Bengals to win because I like Joe Burrow, and also Jackson Mahomes needs to just go home. It's not relevant to say that, but I think it's funny.
Did I tell you that I met him? Did I ever tell you that? I met him. He was working at a bar in Kansas City.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I went on like my fraternity formal to this bar. We happened to pick this one bar that like we did like one of our things at. And just by chance, there's this like 6'5" dude standing behind the bar, and it's Jackson Mahomes.
Did y'all talk to him?
Yeah. 100%. Oh yeah, there were girls going up and getting pictures with him and stuff like that.
Well, like, what was he saying?
He made a drink for me. Like, I was like, I'm gonna get a drink from this guy. What? I was like, he's gonna make me a drink.
That's the odd drink, boy.
I was like, yeah, I went up, so I was like, I gotta say that this guy has made me a drink. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. But yeah, so he was literally working at the bar. It was crazy. Which, you know, like, good for him for like working and stuff, but it was just the most random encounter with, like, I guess you would say, like, a celebrity of sorts.
He is. Yeah. Did y'all talk to him? Were y'all nice to him at all?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. No, we weren't like you know, we weren't mean to him or disrespectful or anything, but it was just kind of ridiculous. You know, because you're expecting to go to this bar and just have a good time and drink, and then Dax Mahomes pops out from behind and you're like, what is happening right now?
That is wild.
But the Bengals, Joe Burrow's great.
I love Joe Burrow. He's great. I hope that they win that game. And then I can't stand actually, I don't even mind 49ers that much. I just don't think that Brock Purdy's that good. I just think he has a good team around him.
He's got a really good team around him. And again, like, we talked a little bit earlier about how, like, we saw some of that, you know, that rookie QB come out of him, like, towards the end of that quarter. I think it was into the half of the quarter to where he was trying to extend the play. He brought it down a little bit too much, and they only had, like, 1 second left on the clock. And, you know, if he goes to the Super Bowl and wins a Super Bowl, that is the most amazing Cinderella story.
He was the last pick in the draft.
He was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
He was Mr. Irrelevant. He's been doing well. You know, he's been doing good. I thought he was a little bit shaky in the Cowboys-Niners game. I thought, like, you know, I saw, like, you know, a little bit of, you know, cracks in the foundation. But overall, like, he's a solid quarterback. And I think if they can keep the team around him, he could do very well. If they keep healthy through this next game and go to the Super Bowl looking good and they don't have anyone lose, they're going to be looking really nice. But, you know, what do you think about the Eagles with them?
I love Jalen Hurts, man. I love Jalen. I even liked him when he was at Bama. I rooted for Bama when he was their QB. I just like Jalen. I like the way he plays.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a running back physically, especially in college too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he can throw the ball. I love me some Jalen Hurts. I was a fan of him.
Yeah.
I remember I used to watch this one YouTuber who, like, he was a Bama fan and react to, like, everybody's game that was, like, big, and then he'd react to Alabama's game.
Yeah.
And, like, every single time, it's like his last, you know, couple years or whatever, he was at Bama for like 2-3 years. Whenever he was playing, this YouTuber would be like, come on, Jalen. Like, he loved Jalen Hurts. And then, you know, it's, he was at Oklahoma. Bama fans were rooting for y'all when you had Jalen.
Yeah.
I don't know if because Jalen got them to the Natty when Tua got hurt.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, or they swapped Jalen for Tua and the Natty. That's what happened.
But it was the thing is, Jalen stayed an extra year when he could have left.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then Tua got hurt, and Jalen, like, won them the SEC title.
Yeah.
So they love Jalen because of that, because he stuck it out when a lot of guys wouldn't. And so they were rooting for Jalen and OU. Mm-hmm. And this Bama guy would watch every OU game, and every single time he'd react to the highlights, he'd be like, come on, Jalen. Like, this is awesome. But,
dude, you know how I knew he was a beast? He was at OU, and God, we had blown someone out of the water, like 45-7 or something like that. Just something ridiculous. And OU, like, football's Instagram posted a video after, and it was like the caption was something dumb. Like, it was like, work's not done or something like that. Or, like, still hungry or something, you know, stereotypical. But it's Jalen Hurts after the game, still, like right after the game, he was like, not enough work, and is just deadlifted. Like,
he was bored at that game.
Yeah, he was just sitting there deadlifting like 300 pounds and just getting reps in and lifting. And I'm like, okay, this guy's a monster.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe he didn't get a full workout in, but just to post that and have, like, you know, the audacity to say, like, yeah, I dropped like 45 on you and now I'm going to go work out. You know what I mean? Like, that's insane.
Meanwhile, Baker dropped 45 on you and then go party.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think. I really like Jalen. There were people who said that he was only going to be like a project QB, a backup QB in the NFL. I was like, this guy's he's too competitive. And this was, for me, y'all playing Texas, and this is his, you know, year at Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive end gets around the edge and, like, trying to, like, strip the ball from him.
Behind
he, like, sidestepped behind the back, like, off balance throw down the field. I was like, that's a hooper right there.
Yeah.
Like, if you do that and you play football, like, I don't – like, no one who's as any – like, if you do that, you are so good at football.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was sweet.
I think when Jalen's playing at the level at which he should be playing – I mean, that's an obvious statement. But, like, Jalen goes – like, we saw him have problems at OU his senior year. You know what I mean? Like, he had a little bit of ball security problems. He was getting a lot of fumbles and
he
stuff
fumbled
like that.
He fumbled twice against Baylor and then blocked y'all back. That was, like, one of the best games I've seen in the last couple
of
years.
I was there.
Was that 2019?
I think so, yeah.
Y'all were at Baylor. Y'all came back.
I was in the Baylor line section.
You had
the freshman
time.
Oh, my God. It was one of the best games of all time. So, here's the thing, like, and what I loved about, I guess, like, my career. You know, we've been talking a lot of OU football. But, like, I was at the Waco comeback, and I was at the Texas OU comeback. The last year when we came back.
Yeah, y'all's comeback against Texas in 2021.
Yeah.
The thing is, if Caleb didn't come in that game, y'all don't win.
Yeah.
Spencer's not winning that game.
Yeah, but Caleb comes it up and runs all the way down the field for a touchdown.
Caleb took off for like 75 yards.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That was so good.
But, I mean, you know, there's – I like – you know, I'd honestly be happy if Brock Purdy went on to get to the Super Bowl. That'd be great. If Jalen does it, I'll be just as happy. What do you think of the other side with the Chiefs? You know, Chiefs.
Or Chiefs. They're playing the Bengals.
Chiefs, Bengals.
Well, I think the Bengals are gonna win, and I think the Eagles are gonna win.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised either way. I just really, I don't know what it is. I just don't believe in the Chiefs right now. I think their offense is not as good without Tyreek.
He's hurt,
and without, I mean, Kelsey's carrying that offense right now. It's like, you know, I'm not that impressed by the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And, that's what I think right now.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, when Patrick Mahomes is on, he's one of the best. He's one of, if not the best player in the league. You know, but if they don't, with him being hurt in that really high ankle sprain, him playing through wincing, not being able to turn, follow through the ball, you know, I don't know what they're going to look like coming into this and how bad he's going to really be, you know, because, like, even in those moments, he's got a ton of adrenaline and he's still moving and stuff like that. But, you know, well, I mean, it's just, we're going to just have to see. A healthy Joe Burrow coming into the game is a bad thing to see if you're Kansas Chiefs defense. You know,
yeah, it is in Kansas City, but I mean that was that way last year, and the Bengals probably won a game they shouldn't have won actually.
Yeah.
Against the Chiefs last year, but you know I personally think the Bengals have their number. I don't know why. I just think they're gonna find a way to win. But they'll be fun games. I think that's everything we got though today. We just talked for a long time. Usually on Zoom, it'll cut me at 40 minutes. We definitely just talked like an hour. It did not cut me at all.
Did we really?
It had to be like an hour.
It had to be an hour.
We'll see. Anyway, that's everything.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Another thing, I'm part of a new thing called The Fanboys. It's a podcast collective with like podcasts from all these different major universities with football, of course, Nebraska being one. They started this year. And so, you know, I'm one of those podcasts. They reached out to me. They want to be a part of the Fanboys. So I just wanted to give them a shout out. There's a lot of other podcasts out there. If you want to listen to other podcasts from other, you know, universities, football teams with their fans. So it's a fan podcast. That's what mine is. So anyway, just want to give them a shout out because they got me on board with their thing this year. So that's fun. But I think that's everything. It's been Daniel Magnuson, Max Akach. Run the damn ball.